Welcome to the Live Beautifully podcast. I'm your host, Katrina Scott. I hope you're doing well today. I just want to say thank you for tuning in and thank you for your support and love for Live Beautifully. It means so much and it's evolving into so much more than I could have ever dreamed of. I'm working hard to make it a safe place for all of us to share, connect, and of course, live beautifully even while life can be messy, scary at times, and filled with unknowns. But the one known thing is that we all have each other, so we've got this. I just want to share a review that someone left that made me feel so fulfilled and just joyful. It was someone new that found the podcast, and she said, "I just listened to all the episodes, and I love it. It's like talking to your best girlfriends. Katrina genuinely wants to uplift and motivate her listeners, and I personally felt a little more self-love after spending the day listening to every episode." This is so good because I just want you to have so much self-love, fulfillment, purpose, and the number one person in your life is you. And then it grows from there. So I hope right now you are just taking a deep breath and knowing that you deserve all that self-love. Today, I have a very special guest coming on the show, my longtime friend, Marie Forleo. Marie is a multi-passionate entrepreneur, writer, philanthropist, and unshakable optimist. She was the first mover in the business coaching world. Through her award-winning show, Marie TV, world-class online training programs, and her number one New York Times bestselling book, Everything is Figureoutable, she has helped so many turn their dreams into reality, including myself. Marie and I got together in New York to catch up, and she shares her wisdom and perspective on life with all of us. This episode is filled with so much energy and depth and attainable tools that will leave you feeling motivated to tap into your true potential. We discuss so many meaningful topics such as how to be present, breaking unconscious habits to have a conscious balance, creating your own dreams instead of consuming others, overcoming burnout, changing your perspective on time, the importance of educating yourself on finances for freedom, and honoring who you truly are at the core. Marie has so much daily inspiration, mantras, and actionable advice on her Instagram, Marie Forleo. Her book, Everything is Figureoutable, made a huge impact on my life. You're going to love it. You can find it on Amazon and Target. I'll put everything in the show notes. And you can also find everything on her website, marieforleo.com, where she shares all of her courses, Marie TV, and her show, The Marie Forleo Podcast. Before we get started, for all my entrepreneurs out there, do you want an aesthetically beautiful website that you can actually run and customize yourself? A website that you can actually update on your own without paying crazy fees? I have used just about every website platform there is out there, and I finally found one that is the absolute best. Not only is it the easiest one that you can use, but it's also cost efficient and gorgeous. I built livebeautifully.com from a template, and you can do the same. The best thing is you're in control of the updates and all of the customization. The template is from my girlfriend Jen's company called Tonic Site Shop. Check it out at livebeautifully.com/tonic, T as in Tom, O-N-I-C. I'll put it in the show notes. And Jen made a code for all of you to save 15% on your website. Use the code Katrina Sent Me. It's the best thing that I've ever done for my personal brand and podcast. So whether you have a blog, a brand, a company, or a show, these templates give you the most beautiful site. All right, let's bring on Marie. Marie Forleo is on the freaking podcast, y'all, and it is going to definitely be what was it called? Explicit? We're going to drop
like
it.
Adult language, yes. Or mature language. And when people are like, it's not mature language, I'm like, yes, it is.
Yes.
Fill in the blank.
We are in New York City.
Yeah.
Your stomping grounds. You used to be bi-coastal, but now you're like all New York.
Yeah. My soul actually told me at the end of, I think it was somewhere in the middle of 2021, I have these very strong intuitive hunches. And when I was in my house, actually in Venice, in California, it started saying, you have to get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. And so I was like, okay. And I called a broker, and within like 3 weeks, the house was on the market. Within a month or so, it sold. And I was like, I guess that's what it was meant to be.
You are so good because like, that is fully listening and tuning into your intuition.
Yeah.
Did it take you a long time to trust your intuition and go, whatever I feel, I'm going to go with in my life?
If I'm in a situation that's, say, not great for my soul, my body literally starts breaking down. Like I start getting sick. I start getting headaches. I start like having what I can only identify as a panic attack. Like my body is like revolts when I'm not on track.
A visceral reaction to something is so real. On the flight here, which by the way, since we're in New York, you will hear the occasional siren. Oh, there goes one. And there's about to be a happy hour here in like 20 minutes in the room next to us. So it might get a little loud. It's okay. Maybe we'll join them.
Yes.
But I was on the way here on the flight. I was going through photos because we don't have Wi-Fi. It was like a crazy thing, but it kind of allowed me to go, oh, I don't have access to the world. What can I do?
Yep.
So I started going through my camera roll and deleting things. And I found like hives and like how my body was having these like crazy reactions in the last like 5 years from stress. Mm. And looking back, I was like, oh, what's this body reaction? Oh, why is my skin doing this? Why do I have shingles? And like not really understanding, it was the environment that I was in.
Yep.
And so, I don't know the quote, but it's like, if a flower doesn't bloom, it's not like the flower, it's like the soil, it's the environment. Like if your body is having a reaction to something, fucking run.
It's useful. I mean, I feel like, you know, Shakira taught us our hips don't lie. And I really think that our bodies don't lie in many respects. And I think that anyone, you know, one of the things I love about you, and I have that background too, you know, for a portion of my career, I was a Nike Elite dance athlete, and mm-hmm. dance and movement and fitness has been such a huge part of my world. And I think for anyone where movement is a big part of your life, you have such an advantage because the channels are open. And if you move regularly, whether you're running or you're lifting weights or you're doing yoga or any combination of anything like that, you're more in touch than many people are, because we live in our society right now. So many people just live from the neck up. You know, they are sedentary. They're sitting at their desks or staring at their phones. They don't move much. And so sometimes when I try and teach people about intuition and listening to the intelligence that lives within your body, some people are like, wait, I don't know if I have that. I'm like, everyone has that. Mm. It's an innate gift that we're all born with. We just don't have much education or training around that level of intelligence. You know, we're always taught so much to be rational and learn our math and our science, and all those things are wonderful, but there's this whole other universe of intelligence within us that when you start to tap in, pay attention to it, take it seriously, honor it, speak to it, work with it, it can serve you at such a high level.
What would you say a way to do that? Because I feel like now escapism is so easy. You can just yes. open your phone, open TikTok, watch other people's lives and kind of escape your own reality, because you're like, that's so much easier than to look and see how we're feeling.
Yeah.
So if someone's really uncomfortable doing that, or they have a habit of opening their phone and just kind of escaping,
yep.
how can you tap in?
Well, first, I want to underscore what you just said, because I think for so many of us, you know, human beings are creatures of habit. Science says that up to 40% of our lives, and I think it's more, is lived out of habit, because our brains like to create shortcuts. It's how we conserve energy, and it's how we just get on with life. And especially in today's age, with our phones now that have been around since what, like kind of 2007, most of us are conditioned the moment we wake up to go to our phones. I think it's 85% of people within the first 5 minutes of waking up, what they do is look at their phones. They're not turning to their partner. They're not looking at the sunshine. They're not taking a deep breath and just saying, wow, I'm alive again. They're going right to that thing. And again, it's nobody's fault, but it is a habit, and most of it is unconscious. So step number one is just bringing awareness to that and noticing that if you're bored, if you're uncomfortable, or you're just grabbing that thing out of habit and letting yourself consume rather than create. So this is like a fun little tip. And I live my life by mantras. That somebody who has ADHD, I need to repeat things in order to keep myself on track, because my brain yes. will go in a gajillion different directions all the time.
Which, by the way, I'm going to put in the show notes a ton of amazing quotes from Marie that you can like save to your phone when you need to pick me up, because she has like...
And I say them to myself.
Yeah, and you just drop knowledge. Like you are so, it's so good.
Thank you. But this notion, create before you consume. So create before you consume. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be generative or productive. I mean, if you want to write a novel, amazing. If you want to learn mm-hmm. a language, awesome. If you want to develop a stronger relationship with your partner or your child or your pet or your notion of divinity, amazing. But create could also mean a stronger mind in terms of going to meditation. Create could be just a sense of presence in your own house where you're not picking up technology, but you're creating a connection with everything and everyone around you. So this little mantra of create before you consume, and to pause before you pick up that thing and say, why am I going in there? Is it because I'm bored? I'm uncomfortable. I don't know how to process this feeling. I don't know what else to do because I haven't taken the time to really ask myself what's important to me more than just, you know, consuming other people's dreams. Do I want to create my own? So I think that's probably step number one. And step number two, honestly, I would always recommend, and I always do recommend this, get moving. Like whenever I've come up against a conundrum in my life or my business, and for whatever reason, the answer is not very apparent, or it feels like I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place, or I'm just hitting a brick wall, I'll either go take a spin class. These days it's I go take a dance class. Mm-hmm. I'll do something to absolutely get out of my head and to let rhythm and music and sweat and movement take over my body and get that channel open so I can download an insight and intel, and you can't expect it. Like you can't force that to happen, but it always does happen if you have the courage to surrender to it. And so I think that's one of the kind of other things that you can start to play with and just notice how you feel. Notice if you start hearing something inside. Some people get intuitive hunches through pictures. People like me, I can hear things often or see things. And then journaling and guided writing are also another tool to start to tap into your inner wisdom rather than looking for an external source of direction or guidance.
I love that you incorporate so much dance into the way that you tap in.
Yes.
Because that's authentic to you.
Yes.
And that has always been part of you. And though you've gone this business route and coaching, but you always incorporate dance. Like you incorporated dance in your book tour.
Oh my gosh.
You're like, oh, we're going to have a party.
Yeah. I remember thinking to myself, so when we launched Everything is Figureoutable, I remember Katrina's like sitting in my publisher's office here in New York City. And it's like a big publisher, you know, Penguin Portfolio. They're amazing human beings. And they're like, so Marie, you know, do you have ideas about the launch? And I was like, yeah, actually I do. And I had this download. I said, well, what if a Beyonce concert, a TED Talk, and a block party got together and had a baby?
Yes.
That's kind of what I want my book launch to be. And they were all just sitting there and they're amazing people, but they were like deer in headlights because they had no idea how to process it. They're like, what does that mean? I was like, I think I'm going to rent out Hammerstein Ballroom and I'd love to get like some Beyonce backup dancers. And I have a friend who's a creative director who does all kinds of tours. I was like, I think we can do this. But it was really, really fun. And it was really different. It was actually one of the best things I think I've ever done in my career in terms of personal satisfaction.
And I would say just that and really good hair. Like your tour was
in hair.
Yeah. Like you just have the best hair. And like, I remember meeting Greg too and being like, wow, like there's always wind following you or something. Cause it was just like, gosh, it's literally Beyonce. Like, but I do think that that's important. So it's dance for you to tap in. But if someone's like, okay, when I was a child, I loved to paint. Is that meditative for you?
100%. That could be it.
Yeah.
I do think there's something with the physical in terms of like, it could be walking, right? It could be just taking a walk in the woods. It could be rolling around on the floor or rowing or, you know, any type of activity where you are firing and wiring different neurons in your brain and you're giving your body a dose of different chemicals than it would get if you were sitting down or you were having a snack or things like that. You know, the chemistry and the science is real behind exercise. I personally believe, again, this is a personal belief, and I think there's some science behind this too, but I haven't done the research deep enough yet, is there's also some magic in music in how it changes your vibration of your body and your frequency and kind of your emotional state. And I think that when you combine music and movement, it is magic.
I don't think we listen to enough music anymore. You know, we're on our phones, we're watching and consuming other people's lives that, you know, put your phone away, play music in your house, dance in your kitchen, tap in.
Yes.
Like just, I want more of that. I think something else that I've recently done is that I hide my social media apps on the last page of my phone. You got to work to do get that there. Habit.
It's enough of a pause that it gives you that cognitive moment to ask yourself, like, do I actually want to be doing this? Like the thumb swipe over, if you have to do it two or three or four times, it's enough of like, that second or two to say, do I really want to be consuming other people's content right now? You know, we have a beautiful program that's called Time Genius. And I always learn so much from our students. And someone said, you know, when she was going through the program, and it's really this deep dive in transforming your relationship with time and how you spend this most precious resource that we all have that's finite and limited, one of the only things in life that truly is finite and limited. And she said, you know, when we were talking about create before you consume, she's like, am I creating my own dreams or am I consuming other people's? Like just looking at the balance of how she was spending her day. Like I'm actually consuming other people's dreams instead of creating my own. And that got me in the gut. It got me in the gut. And like art is beautiful. I was telling you before we started recording, like Josh and I are going to see a show tonight.
Yeah.
So I think consuming art is beautiful. Getting that inspiration, whether it is on TikTok or social media or going to a play or seeing a great film or going to a concert. Filling our well is important. But I think having that balance, be conscious and aware of like you have beautiful time to absorb and then you also have beautiful time to generate or to just be. I think that's what many of us are missing. I know I certainly was, and it felt really good once I started to get my own sense of balance back.
I recently heard, I think you on another podcast with Stephen.
Yes, Diary of a CEO.
Yeah. You said that you got a little burnt out.
Oh, a lot.
A lot.
A lot
burned
out. Talk
to me about that because,
oh my gosh,
everyone looks to you like, okay, like she has balance. She's doing this and I'm going to go to her and all these things. And I think that for a lot of people, that's surprising, but I want to hear like how you got burnt out. And because at the same time, like that validates like we can all, that happens to all of us.
100%. So I was doing all the things, by the way. Mm. One of the things I'm proud of myself for just as a human being is I have a tremendous ability to be disciplined. So I was like doing the meditation, doing my workouts, like eating pretty clean, getting enough rest, like all the stuff that we're told that we're supposed to do that will prevent burnout. I was doing all of it and I was a mess. I was so burnt out. I was so depressed that I started waking up every day. And the first thought that started to enter my eyes when my eyes popped open was, I can't do this anymore. And then it got so dark that I was like, I don't know if I want to be here anymore. And I had never had experiences like that in my life. And it was terrifying because I was like, wait, all my usual tricks are not working, like meditation, dialing it down a little. Do you know what I mean? It was just this chronic. And I think now, you know, in retrospect, of course, everything is 2020. But what I didn't realize when I was in that terrible state was what a dysfunctional relationship I had with time itself and seeing myself as this producer and putting so much pressure on me to keep reaching for more and more. And if I ever took downtime, I must not want success bad enough. And then I also had this other fear that I didn't realize was underneath. You know, some of this stuff can be so unconscious that we're just going and, you know, you've known me for many years. I don't bullshit. Do you know, like mm-hmm. I just, whatever's happening for me, I'm very transparent about it. And so all the years of, you know, now 22 years doing this, all Marie TVs and the podcast that we've done, that was all real. And it was like, I think it was basically the end of 2020 where stuff just started internally crumbling for me and coming to the surface. And I'm like, I have no idea where this is coming from. I was terrified. And I didn't realize how punishing I was to myself to always reach bigger and bigger goals. I just thought that's what you do. It was like I was a fish in water, having no idea that anything else existed. And it wasn't until I started to really struggle with depression and feeling so dark and so helpless. And like if I slowed down, that everything I've worked so hard for was going to fall apart. And so it was this muck of stuff. And then we found out I had all these tumors inside of me that there was one like the size of a grapefruit growing outside of my uterus. Not fun. And this was all happening in the moment where COVID was still, we didn't know what the hell was going on. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was a moment where we didn't have vaccines yet. There was so much that we didn't know and there was still a ton of fear. Cut to, I had to get an urgent hysterectomy to get those tumors out because the pain, it was just so much. And after healing from that, and really, I've never taken 6 weeks off of my life, but after the hysterectomy, you know, that's the protocol. It's like, no, you need to sit. Like, you need to not do anything, like no work, can't really move besides like gentle walking. That was just what my doctor had told me was required. And Katrina, it was the best gift ever. Because I really got a chance to sit with myself and to really see things from a fresh perspective and to see how dysfunctional I was around my own relationship with time, around this notion, and I've called it time stress, this world where you feel like no matter how much you get done, it's never enough. This world where you feel like, you know, you're waking up at like 5 a.m., going to bed at whatever, 10 or 11, and if you take a break or put your head down on the couch, you feel like you're lazy. when you're not working, you feel like you should be. When you're working, you feel guilty that you're not. Like, it's just this whole, forgive me for saying this, but it's a mind fuck. And I got totally swept away in it. And it wasn't until, again, I had 6 weeks of downtime where I really started to see the forest from the trees and said, there's got to be a better way. And that was actually the whole genesis of Time Genius. I was like, I want to dig back into the brain science. I want to dig back into, you know, some things that I know work, and then also help people create a system, because I didn't want people to suffer like I was. And I was like, if I'm a pretty strong person, and if I was that, you know what I mean, dark, I was like, I know. And I did a survey actually to my audience, but I just asked them what their experience was and if they struggled. And I, you know, we had like over, I don't know, 8,000 responses in 3 days. And I'm not talking one word responses. I'm talking novellas to like a pretty long in-depth survey. Yeah. And I was like, oh, there's a lot of people who are burned out. There's a lot of people who feel like they don't have an option of how to turn this around. And I was like, I know I can help.
Thank you for sharing all that.
Oh, of course.
I love that whatever you're going through, you do share. And it makes a lot of people that maybe aren't sharing publicly what they're going through just not feel so alone in it. So.
Yeah. And I think anyone also too, who has any type of public persona, small, big, medium, large, doesn't matter. And even if you don't, honestly, but you just feel that pressure to keep up, and you're an overachiever and you have big dreams and big ambitions, and you just constantly feel like you're either failing or not measuring up, or you're not where you should be by now, and you're watching the clock and you're getting older. It's like, it can be a lot. And if you don't have anyone to talk to and everyone's just always showing you their shiny side, you feel broken.
It's silly that we do that when, you know, life is so short, but it's long, but it's short in many ways.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's not guaranteed. And we're just so blessed to be here. But, you know, even if you have an Instagram and say, you know, maybe you're with your kids or you're working and you're like, oh, I need to get back to that one person that asked me to wear cute pants on.
Yeah.
Those things at night keep me up.
Yes.
Like when I used to be a waitress, I'm like, oh my goodness, I think I forgot to bring ketchup to that one table.
Of course.
And you bartended.
Yeah. Like, oh, bartended waiters tables. Yes.
Yeah. That travels with you.
Yeah.
And like anyone that waits tables, like, let us know. Have you had those like nightmare dreams? And like you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh, I have a table, I'm really busy. And like, that was just part of that. And then now that's become, I forgot to get back to that one woman who asked me about IVF.
Yep.
And that was last week. Where was her DM? I need to go back. And then you're spending, you know, 20 minutes of your day, and it can consume you.
Totally.
But also that feeling of responsibility. Okay. Talk to me about time. How are you spending your time today?
Gosh, it feels so different than a few years ago. I feel really excited that I have somehow shed the identity that if I'm not working, you know, pretty intensely all the time, that somehow I'm not valuable anymore. I think that's one of probably the best things about getting older, is like shedding the fucks you give and also having a really great perspective. Because, you know, I remember in my early 20s and kind of mid 20s and, you know, just really going for it. And there was a lot of fear underneath that, like this drive for success. And that's understandable for many of us. You know, if I don't come from a lot of money, I don't. I really wanted to be independent and self-sufficient and put myself on a path to financial freedom. I think that's a dream many of us share. And now, you know, as I'm looking around and I have this incredible relationship with Josh, we just celebrated our 20-year anniversary. You know, and thankfully my parents are still here. They're 75, crazy pants and awesome. You just get sober to the fact that it's not all going to last forever. And I'm like, God, I've done so much. And I remember one time Josh and I were talking. He's like, Marie, you realize you've already won the game, right? He's like, whatever game you were playing with yourself, you've won it. And there was something about him saying that to me that kind of got me in the heart. And I was like, why am I continuing to push myself this hard? I believe in my mission. I love what I do, but I'm also a super multi-passionate person. And there's many other aspects of my life that I want to explore. I also love simplicity. Like, I get a lot of satisfaction, honestly, Katrina, being home and cooking. And like, I love to purge. Like, I love simplifying.
I was just going
to
say, you don't like clutter.
Oh, I can't.
I need to be a little more like you. I like that you're like that, because I hold on to everything, which is just noise.
Yeah. And I like, well, I live in small places, you know, like New York City. We've been here, same place for over 20 years. And it's a small 2-bedroom apartment. And it's actually great because you can't have a lot of stuff. And so it's just, it's time for me. You were asking how I spend my time. Like this morning, I took the most amazing dance class. So my friend, Kristen Sudeikis, is the founder of Forward Space. I don't know if you know Forward Space.
No, but shout out.
Yeah.
New York. It's, where is it?
They have a great online hub too. It's here in Manhattan and Spring Street, but it's dance-based. So it's like, I'm a club girl. And, you know, as a former dancer in terms of Nike and all that stuff, it's like great for me to walk into a place where I feel like I could be back in the 90s or the 2000s at the Tunnel or like the hottest clubs in New York. But it's a friggin' dance class and it's a workout. I
love that for you.
So I did that this morning. And then it was like a couple of meetings this afternoon. I have the most amazing team that has been with me. And we were just analyzing data from our last launch and like talking about fun plans for how to improve things for the next time we do it. And it's just like this unfolding, like I'm giving myself so much more permission just to do fun things. Like when you had texted me and let me know that you were coming to town, initially, we didn't even know we were going to get to chat on your podcast. It was just like,
I was like, well, I'm doing this too.
We should hang out. Mm-hmm. And it just feels really, really good. And I keep creating more pockets of white space in my calendar and not filling them up. And that's such a difference for me. That's a huge difference for me. Like if you would have asked me maybe 5 years ago, my entire 2023, which is when we're recording this, would be like slotted done. That would have been completely mapped out the summer of 2022. And now intentionally, I told my team, I was like, hey, we've got a couple of initiatives, but I'm leaving so much space open because I can feel there's magic coming and I need to leave room for it. And I trust it completely. And it's really cool, but it's a really different space for me.
I like asking this question because it's just, you know, it's reflection. But if you were to like sit down with Marie in 2019, like what would you tell her about what was ahead?
I would tell her to strap herself in, to buckle up, that it was going to be really, really hard, but the best thing that she could ever go through. I think, you know, doing the book was so extraordinary and I love that book so much. Everything is figureoutable. And then not knowing how many changes were going to happen right at the top of that year and saying the next couple of years are going to be some of the most challenging you've ever been through. And you're going to actually be closer to your best. And I say best, and I'm using bunny ears, not in an idealized sense, best in terms of a true sense, like your true self, more than you've ever been in your life.
I want to go back to your book, Everything is Figureoutable. Which if you don't have it, we're going to put it in the show notes. It is incredible. There's three principles.
Yes.
I would love for you to talk about those three principles and how you applied them then to yourself and the things that you've gone through.
Yeah. So Everything is Figureoutable is this amazing, it's a mantra, it's a philosophy, it is a way of life. And the notion behind it is essentially that every single one of us has everything we need to transform or transcend any challenge that we might face. And that if there is something that pops up in our life and where it's like the shiitake hit the fan moment, that's most of it, that you don't have to have the answers, but it is figureoutable. And so the three principles are three rules that we actually created because some people, you know, when I was starting to write the book, I remember going out to brunch with a girlfriend of mine and she brought along her 10-year-old son. And they're like, oh, Marie, what are you working on? And I was like, oh, I'm working on a new book. They're like, what's the name? And I'm like, Everything is Figureoutable. And her 10-year-old son was like, no, it's not. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, this is actually awesome. I was like, tell me what you think is not figureoutable. And he said, oh, well, you know, we human beings can't grow wings out of our back and just fly away. And I was like, you know what? That's really true right now. I said, but do you know about CRISPR? Have you heard of that? And you know, and he was like, what? What's CRISPR? And I explained that. I said, but you know, even though we don't have physical wings at this moment, you do realize we human beings can fly airplanes, right? And he was like, oh yeah, I guess so. He's like, okay, what about this one? He's like, you know, I can't bring my dog back from the dead, like the one I had when I was just a little boy and he's only 10. And I said, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. And I was like, that's kind of like some Pet Cemetery shit, which I love horror movies. I said, well, you know, scientists are figuring out how to clone dogs. And, you know, that may not be happening right now, but it is on the horizon. And so it made me realize that we needed to kind of give a framework around this because all of our minds are going to go to the things that we don't think are figureoutable. So here are the three rules. Number one, all problems or dreams are figureoutable. Rule number two, if a problem isn't figureoutable, it's not really a problem. It's actually a fact of life, like taxes, death, law of gravity. Rule number three, and this is the big one. You may not care enough to solve this particular problem or reach this particular dream, and that's okay. Find something that you do care so deeply about and go back to rule number one. So it has us aim our figure-outable muscles and this innate power that we all have towards the things that are the most important to us. And I think using that little mental container is just really helpful because it prevents us from like, A, just getting into mental arguments like, well, this isn't figure-outable and this isn't. It's like, well, you know, if you really went after it, you probably could solve some aspect of it.
Changed my life.
So
I came to you in 2019, went on your book tour. I was like, this is a sign. I'm coming. And it was amazing because I was able to see you. I went to Houston and then Brene Brown, of course.
Yes. Yep,
and you introduced me to her and I almost fell over. But I was just trying to figure things out. And although I didn't figure it out then, and it took me a good few years.
Yeah.
I think applying those principles to your life, no matter what, we're all going to go through things where even if it takes some time, this too shall pass.
Yep.
You will make it through and you will have peace and clarity eventually.
That's right.
And everything that was difficult was there as a way to redirect you. You know, rejection is redirection.
Yeah.
And kind of going, oh, okay, thank you for showing me that that wasn't for me.
That's right.
And thank you for that didn't happen to me, you know, it happened for me. And that your life can look totally different than you thought. But what if it's leading you to something way more beautiful that you just have no idea?
Completely.
I saw this quote the other day that was like, I was bawling and it touched me so much. It was like, you haven't met a lot of the people that you will love in this lifetime and that will love you too. And then I just think about like all the people that I love that I pray for every night.
Yeah.
And like, you know, being prayed for too is like such a beautiful, I feel like that's the most beautiful gift where someone's like, oh, I prayed for you. And you're like, what?
I know.
And so I think that that is amazing because when I think about the people that I think about at the end of the day and that I love, like, there's so much more life to live. And whatever you're going through at home, like there's a whole lot of life waiting for you too.
100%.
And there's beautiful art museums. There's a life to explore. There's a world waiting for you. So you are not stuck.
Not stuck at all. And I think, you know, the notion of a timeline in years, I feel like that's really important for us because it's like, we're all on this journey of growing and evolving and changing. And that's the one thing that we can count on. I wanted to like underscore what you said. My agent actually told me this and I love it. And I think you'll like it too. It's like life's rejection is God's protection. Mm. Like when the things fall apart or people say no, or they walk away or they hurt you or whatever the circumstances may be, that there's a greater, higher power looking out for you for the grander picture, for the bigger story of your life. And in the moment, the stings hurt and there can be some really painful things that we need to cry about and heal from. And those are all very real. But I think holding on to that truth that there is a bigger plan for you, for me at least, has been incredibly comforting and helps me stay grounded.
I sometimes think that the exposure of things that hurt are the signs in your life going like, yield this way.
Yeah.
Detour.
Yeah.
Don't go that down that road.
Yeah.
And that evidence of what is presenting itself might be the really hurtful things. I was listening to Katherine Schwarzenegger's book, The Gift of Forgiveness. Mm. It's all these different people about how they forgive. And one of the chapters, a couple of them are actually about infidelity.
Mm.
And sometimes that shows up as what is going on in a relationship. So the infidelity happens, no matter what's being exposed, is exposing so much more that's broken in a bond or a relationship. And from there, yes, that's the hurtful part, but that's where the repair starts.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you can go, oh, I actually can take this in a different direction, or I can repair what is broken and within my relationship, within whatever you're going through. And I thought that was like such a nice way of saying like, hey, what you're going through right now is just the exposure, and it will hurt just kind of like getting exposed to the sun, like a little sunburn.
Yeah.
And then guess what? You're going to heal. And you needed to go through that to be able to heal.
Yeah.
And you didn't even know that you needed to heal.
Yes.
And needed to present itself so you could move forward.
Totally. There's always lessons. And again, it's difficult in the moment to feel that. We have to give ourselves the space and the grace to feel the pain, to feel the betrayal, to feel whatever it is that's happening. And usually that I'm going to go back, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but for me too, like the movement piece and not trying to necessarily process everything psychologically, not necessarily having to process everything mentally, but giving my body a chance to process energy through movement. You rearrange your cells, you let things go, you sweat it out, you give your body a chance to heal all on its own. And you can come up with a brand new perspective that you didn't have to work for. You didn't necessarily have to like drill in your brain, you know, as much as I love mantras, and I really do, you know, there's other modalities too that can be really clearing, that can help you let things go, and that can give your body a chance to like discharge all that energy.
I like that, like just moving through it.
Yes, literally moving through it and not processing from here, from your head, I'm pointing to my head right now, but actually giving your body a chance to support you and tapping into a higher power that can say, yeah, we're going to move this energy right through and we're going to keep going.
What have you changed your mind about?
You know, I've changed my mind about, gosh, it's a great question. So this is actually something I'm not completely settled on, but I go back and forth and it's fun for me. So changing my mind about, like, I've lived here in New York City probably 25 or almost 30 years. And I was telling you, we have a very small apartment, which is great. And it's cozy and it's lovely. It's on my favorite block ever. And sometimes I have this little fantasy and I've had it for a long time. I was like, oh, I would always love, like in New York City in the West Village where we are, there are these things called brownstones or townhouses. And they're beautiful, like old, like some of them are from the 1800s or the 1900s. And they're different sizes. So there's small ones, there's large ones, there's everything. And in my mind, I was like, oh, wow. Wouldn't it be great to have that kind of home? I love old things and I think things are really cozy. And then the older I get, I'm like, God, that's a lot of work and responsibility. Do you know what I mean? So I go back and forth. I'm like, actually, I think I like my tiny, small, simple, easy things. So sometimes I go back and forth, changing my mind about like how big ambitions are and what I really want or need. And those feel good to me in terms of the change and the evolution. Cause I'm like, oh, well, I'm actually more mature. I'm more experienced. I've been around the block and that's good that my goals or my ideas or my dreams of what I want to experience have actually shifted. Those are some of the things. I think I've always been pretty clear with myself in terms of what success looks like and feels like for me. It's of course like an ever evolving thing.
Kind of like a curveball question. Cause it's like, oh, because you are ambition. Like if you were a word, that's how like I, like if Marie Forleo was a word, it would be ambition. But it's nice to see you in this like calm, like you have like a calmness about you that's really, really nice. And I think we should all tap into that. No matter how much we want to like, you and I have talked about it, like we're kind of recovering from hustle culture, the two of us in very different ways. And what year did you start your coaching?
2000.
Okay.
Like old school, like 2000, 2001 is when I started my business and like we're 2023. Well, that's the other thing too. I think in earlier years, I was like, I'm going to do this forever. And not that I plan on like retiring anytime soon, but I think now it's like, oh, wow. So I've done this version somewhat for like 22 years. And I'm like, oh, what's the next evolution of it? What's it look like next? And that's an open question. And I think the thing that has changed, actually, I'm so much more comfortable with uncertainty now. And I'm so much more comfortable with more kind of open space and like seeing how things are going to unfold. And as someone who has for most of my life been a pretty tight control freak, it feels amazing.
Because you were such a planner and then an executor.
Yeah. Which you're all
still
true.
Doing that. I mean, you came here, we planned it and we're doing it right now.
Yeah. But I think planning and executing, it's like, that's a muscle that I have, like that's unlock, right? I don't need to work on that anymore. It's like, that's a given. All these other areas that are kind of more open and fluid and trusting, like those are places that I don't think I've flexed as much yet. And they feel a lot, there feels like it's a lot of excitement and a lot of magic and a lot of play that I'm here for it.
Not everyone is born with your type of drive. Mm-hmm. How can someone actually be more driven?
You know, that's a really interesting question. And I don't know if they necessarily have to.
I like that.
You know, I think really honoring who you are at your core and embracing what feels good to you about your life, I think that's where the magic is. I really do. I think, you know, with 9 billion people on the planet, and we need everyone's diverse gifts and perspectives and energies and all the things that all of us are so different on. Otherwise, it would be freaking boring as hell, you know, if we all had the same levels of ambition or drive or focus. And I think it's cool to explore if you're like, hey, you know, I actually would love to build up this muscle. You know, we can look at it same way we look at anything in fitness, right? Yeah. Like, oh, maybe we want to do some leg exercise because we want to experience what it feels like to have stronger legs. Like we're like, wow, that feels really exciting. I want to feel that. Or I know for me, I've done like push-up challenges because I'm like, oh man, I used to be able to do, I want to do push-ups again. So like to do that, to build up those areas of my body, to have that experience. And so I think if anyone listening is like, oh, wow, I would love to experience more drive, if that's something that they want to play with and explore, I would ask themselves, A, what does that look like? And why is it important? So I think, what does that look like to you specifically? And why is that important? And I think if you keep asking yourself why, not to navel gaze, but to really dig into the meat, to the heart, to the soul of why you want to pursue something, there can be a lot of insight there. I know for me, at least in my own life, some of my whys have been competitive in nature, because I see someone else have it and I think that that's cool, or I should want that too, or it's something where I'm feeling not enough. Not from a true place of going like, so for example, in dance, when I see someone doing a step and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do that. I want to learn how to do that. Not because I don't think I'm enough, because I'm like, oh, that expression looks really cool. It looks really challenging. And then I'll go ask the dancer like, hey, can you teach me? You know, like we have this, but it's, I'm not coming in a place of less than, it's like this excitement to have this experience in form, where there's been other things that I've gone after, quite honestly, just because I felt like I wasn't enough, or I wasn't, again, doing something enough, or being successful enough, or having whatever it was, but it was completely rooted in a feeling of insecurity.
I love that you've come to terms with like, you just don't like social media.
Oh, we were talking about this before we started recording, right?
Yeah,
I'm so like, terrible at it. I'm like legit the worst ever. Yeah.
But but that's so refreshing, instead of being like, wow, I need to be good at social media. There's so much pressure to
Katrina,
be.
Katrina, I tortured myself for years, like years, feeling like I'm not doing enough. I'm never doing enough. I'm like, oh my God. First of all, I always like honor my friends, or some friends that I have, I'm like, dude, you are so good at that. Like they just do it. I'm like, do you have a phone on your face all the time? Like the amount of content they produce, I'm like, it's insane. I'm a different type of creative. So I love creating educational experiences or like these transformational experiences, but I'm pretty methodical and I love just being in my creative cave and producing something and then letting people experiencing it. And I was saying, you know, in those instances, I love being on camera. You know, when I was a Nike athlete, I love being in front of the room. I love teaching people, taking them from point A to point B. Awesome, all day long. But when I'm not doing that, I'm like, get that phone out of my face. And I've looked at myself for so long, for 22 years, like I'm tired of seeing myself. And I'm tired of hearing myself. Like, I'm like, y'all don't need any more of me.
Yeah. Everyone needs more of you in their life.
And but I'm just not good at it. And I don't beat myself up about it. I have, like, we always experiment because I see the value in it. And I love people and I love connecting with people. I just, there are certain parts of how my brain is wired that it's not good for me. It's not good for my mental health. It's not good. It's not satisfying or fulfilling. And so, so now I'm just at peace. I was saying, I was with a member of my team last week in California. We were doing a bunch of other stuff and we literally took a bunch of selfies. She got a bunch of stuff from Rent the Runway, like different tops. Cause again, it's like not change my jam.
Yeah.
Change the top, take a bunch of stuff. I'm like, here we go. Great. Now you got a bunch of content. This is awesome.
Wow, your hair always looks so good. Did Gregory did it?
Did no. So, I have to actually say this out loud. So Greg is amazing. Greg is always responsible for like my blowouts on set or on tour. Mm-hmm. He came with us on book tour. So Larry's my guy who actually does my color and my cuts. And I get a text from Larry, my other hair guy. He's like, you don't give me any love. He's like, you don't give me any love on social. It's always Greg. He's like, I know Greg's great. I'm like, Larry, you're not hanging out with me on set because this whole thing we're talking about. I'm like, when you're doing my hair legitimately in the salon, when you're doing like my highlights, my cut, whatever, I'm reading books.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like physical books. I don't have my phone out really.
Well, shout out to Larry.
Shout out to Larry at Whittemore House, New York City. If you want the guy that cuts my hair and colors my hair, Larry. You know, try and get them. And Greg is the guy that does the blowouts and the style. You know, they're amazing. They're amazing guys, but they're responsible. But you know who's ultimately responsible for my hair? None of them, including me. It's like my Italian ancestors. I didn't do anything for this. Like, this is like, God bless. Thank you, everyone. But, you know, born this way.
It's in like that.
But it also comes with the, you see all this hair? Yeah. Guess who else has a lot of hair in terms of like needing to go get the lasers? And like, as a kid, I had hair all over my arms and I was so embarrassed. I had the unibrow. So you have the blessing in one place, you have to realize it comes with more blessings everywhere else too.
Great brows too, you guys. Thank you. I'll make sure to put those in the show notes too.
Anyone who comes from either an Italian or certain backgrounds who tend to have a lot of hair, guys, you know what I'm talking about. That you got a lot to deal with in all the places.
I have a couple more questions for you because I feel like this is just what probably a lot of people need to hear.
Yeah.
We've been pushed and pulled through so many different things the last few years in the world. A lot of things we didn't have control over. You know, we had to go in lockdown, of course, for the health of everybody. And there were a lot of decisions being made for us. Going forward, what kind of freedom can people look forward to in taking their power back? And how do you do that?
First of all, freedom is my number one value in life. It's like my favorite word. And I was thinking about this the other day when I was doing the dishes, actually just last night, how when I first started my coaching practice, I was like, I want to help people achieve financial, emotional, spiritual, physical freedom. Like that was my thing. And I think it still is my thing. And I think understanding that freedom is within you and that you get to decide virtually like so many aspects of your life. So there's two places in all of our lives that we have control over: our thoughts and our actions. So much other shit cannot control, right? Just like you were talking about, there are so many things that happen in our world. There's going to be so many things that happen to us personally that we don't choose that are going to be like the shiitake hit the fan moments, like OMG, they will put us in grief. They will bring us to our knees. That's guaranteed for all of us. But you always have control over your thoughts and your actions. And that's where your freedom lies. So I also think too, for anyone listening, what flavor of freedom are you most interested in creating next? So it might be, for some people listening, financial freedom. That was one that has always been a really juicy, beautiful, exciting topic for me. And I love helping especially women create financial freedom for themselves. It could be emotional freedom, right? It might be like, wow, you kind of feel like a ping pong ball and you feel like no matter what is incoming, you're always reacting and you're never in control of your own experience of living. So that might be a really beautiful place to start some exploration. It might be physical freedom. It might be like, wow, you know what? I feel like my body might be able to experience more flexibility or more strength or more peace or whatever it is, like how I want to explore that. So I think recognizing what your appetite is and that specific flavor of freedom, and then giving yourself full permission to go explore it, meaning like defining what that looks like for you and then surrounding yourself with opportunities to grow. If it's financial freedom, it might be about signing up for a class, reading a book, talking to people, just getting those creative juices flowing, engaging in that conversation. If it's physical freedom, it's like, oh, well, what style of movement? Is there something that I need to go, you know, try out, try YouTube, who knows, like something that is just stepping into that zone. But that's what I would say if you want to start going towards a more freedom rich life.
I like how you're putting that too, because it's the freedom and knowledge.
Yes.
So educating yourself on your body, educating yourself on financial freedom.
Yes.
So I just feel like finances and money is just still so overpowered by men in the conversation. We need to take our power back in all different categories. And part of that is knowledge.
Yeah. I think in terms of money, it's one of my favorite topics ever. And we just get really for most of us, some families are great about this, but I think they're the minority. You get really good financial education, like from your parents, or it's easily talked about, or, you know, we don't necessarily have a bunch of baggage, but most of us do. You know, I grew up in a space of scarcity around money. And that was one of the biggest things that I wanted to turn around was my own dysfunctional relationship with money. And I'm so happy I did. And I always tell people, I love money. In fact, Katrina, I actually think that's going to be one of my next experiences that I'm going to create. Because when I've told people, like, I love money, like, first they're horrified. They're like, are you going to get struck down? Like, is there a lightning bolt about to just blow you up?
And I feel like women aren't allowed to say that.
Yes, you are.
Without being doubted. You know what I mean?
You don't even have to mean it, but just say it out loud. So just say it just for the experience of saying it, like, I love money.
Oh, everyone else at home has to do it with me. Ready?
Yep.
1, 2, 3. I love money.
Was it embarrassing? Was it scary?
Yes. There's something so uncomfortable. I talk to my husband about this all the time where I'm very uncomfortable with money. I'm like, I'll create, I'll do this. And like, you handle it over there.
Yeah.
That is not freedom. Cause then guess what?
That's
other
right.
People start controlling it.
That's right. So I'm just going to put the invitation out there for you and for everyone listening. You don't have to, it's just a fun place to explore.
We're gonna do this
but
together.
I would just invite everyone to just consider what might happen with your relationship with money, this part of our lives that is going to be with us, as far as we know, until our last days on earth. So it is a thing. How might your relationship with money transform if you poured the energy of love into it? So I Love Money is not about being materialistic. It's not about like buying into a consumeristic culture. It's actually not about a certain amount. It's not about worshiping money. It's really asking yourself the question, what would happen to this area of my life if I poured the energy of love into it? So if you just take it away from money for a minute and you think about a significant other or someone that you really care about, like how do you treat someone that you love? You're interested in them. You want to understand what makes them thrive. You don't want to control them. You don't want to keep them all for yourselves. You want to understand how is this being going to be their biggest, best, most flourishing self. So you listen to them, you pay attention to them, you check in with them, right? It's a relationship. And so that loving relationship, like just like our bodies, you would never say, oh my God, my body, I can't, right? You wouldn't have like a love, I mean, some of us do, love-hate relationship with our body. But when you start looking at, oh, what if I poured the energy of love on this beautiful vehicle that is like the physical casing for my soul in this particular lifetime, what changes? All of a sudden, you might start eating foods that really nourish you. You might start loving on your body in terms of how you move it or how you dress it or how you caress it or any of those things, right? It just shifts. It shifts, changes. Same thing is true with money. We've just been enculturated to have all of these really effed up, conflicting inner ideas and beliefs around money. And most of them are based in lies. And so anyway, that's my invitation. And it's getting loud in here.
The happy hour is starting.
Yeah.
Again, I get uncomfortable talking about money, and in that way, it has hurt me. Like then it becomes scarce because if you fear it, then you're almost rejecting it.
Correct.
Instead of attracting it. And like, I would love to do more for others. Even my husband and I were shipping a bunch of things for the earthquakes that were occurring and trying to help. Like if we had a little more, we could help more. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to help people, then I think that you deserve more wealth so that way you can help more. And like, that's what I just want to be able to do more for others. So I need to work on that.
I'm going to revisit that. Yeah. With the I Love Money. And it's about just being comfortable with your capacity. Like my parents are actually very frugal, really amazingly simple people. And I say that in every respect, but they are so rich because they're debt free. They're at peace with their money. They live super simply. So again, it's not about a certain amount. It's literally about the energy that we have with this beautiful area of our life. And it's possible to increase your capacity, your comfortability, your peace with it, have more of it flow through you into the things that you really care for. So I think it's just ripe for transformation, and the energy of love is what does it.
I like that so much. I saw something earlier that was like, are you living below your means so that way you just get rid of that stress? But that's so hard because, and I just saw that 57% of people in the United States don't have their next paycheck. Like they don't have any money.
Like no backup, and no they backup. Couldn't handle like a $400 emergency expense. It would be really, really difficult.
Yeah. They don't even have $1,000 saved. Mm-hmm. And so,
but we can change that. Yeah. That is figure outable. I know it in my heart. And everyone listening and everyone in our society, they are smart enough. They are capable enough. Yes. They are creative enough. They are powerful enough. And it's like, we need to really come together and support each other in having that again. And everyone's appetite is different, and that's a beautiful thing. But we can support one another in having a more peaceful, loving, and expansive relationship with this part of our lives that's going to be with us.
Okay, I have a final question.
Sure.
And because it's the Live Beautifully podcast, how do you live beautifully?
I live beautifully by waking up every morning and enjoying a cup of coffee with the love of my life and playing with my dog, Kuma, who's this incredible hairless punk little doggy.
So cute.
And really savoring the time that I have and what I've created. And I think as much as I can bring joy to each moment, for me, that makes life really beautiful. And whenever I forget that, whenever I forget what I actually have, that's when I lose touch with the magic.
You've touched so many lives, including mine, and you are so generous with your love and your knowledge and your time that it is your time. And I could cry even thinking, I am crying. It's your turn. I hope that you receive everything that you've given. So thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks God. For having me.
Love you.
Love you.
Thank you so much for tuning into Live Beautifully today. I hope you loved this episode and that you feel empowered, connected, and of course, inspired to live beautifully. Make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when a new episode comes out. I love seeing your reviews and hearing how this podcast is making a positive impact on your life. So if you haven't yet, I'd love for you to leave a review. I read everything from you and it means the absolute world to me. I'll be sharing your reviews and stories on Instagram at Katrina Scott. Also, for Ask Me Anything episodes, literally anything, text me on my cell at 213-205-3604. 213-205-3604 with anything you'd like to talk about. Title your text AMA for Ask Me Anything so I can look out for your message. Thanks again for tuning in and sharing this with your girlfriends. I cannot wait to chat soon. Let's live beautifully together.